Today's reading comes from Luke chapter 19, starting at verse 28. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you. As you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes to the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'"
I've become, those people that know me, you realise I am not in any way a fan of the game football. I see little point in it. But I'm aware that it exists. And I'm aware, I've had to go and watch many football matches in my career. Or previous career, not as a vicar, you don't get invited to many as a vicar. But when I was a policeman in London, I wanted to go to lots of football matches. And I'm aware that actually when you're doing well, it's easy to cheer on. And it seems to be that certain teams are very popular when they're doing well. I think Manchester United went through a stage of being really amazing. And it was really easy to support. In fact, I think if you went anywhere around the world, you'd find someone with a Manchester United top on. But now they're not as great as they once were, and someone else is at the top of the table, I'm led to believe. I have no idea. I'm not speaking temporarily. How temporarily? Are we talking years or...? Yeah. The popularity dies off, and that's interesting, isn't it? How fickle people can be when it comes to giving worth to something when they're doing well, and when they're not, you stop doing that. You stop behaving like that. I used to look at this passage, this time of Holy Week, Palm Sunday today, Jesus coming into Jerusalem, and think this is a story about hypocrites, because they turn on Jesus so quickly this week. But I don't think that now. I've reflected quite a bit this week on this passage, and I don't think that's what's going on. Hypocrite comes from the Greek, a Greek term, to wear a mask. It's what where they used to in the Greek theatre, put a mask on, take the personality of someone else. But I don't think that's what's happening here. The imagery is vast in this story, and we miss it because we're not first century Jews. So let's see if we can just capture some of what's going on and some of the excitement that the Jewish people, when they see this, get really excited about, which leads them to this declaration of praise. Blessed is he, is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. So the first thing we need to be aware of is what is happening in Jerusalem at this time. Why is Jerusalem so populated? Why is everyone flooding into Jerusalem at this specific time of year? Well, the answer is simply it's because it's the Jewish Passover. And the Jewish Passover happens at this time of year. It's a movable feast. So all of those people that wonder, why does Easter move and Christmas is fixed? The answer is because the Jewish Passover is a movable feast, and it moves due because of the lunar cycle in the year. And therefore, Easter is based around Passover, and because Passover moves, Easter moves. And which is why you can have Easter really late, which is what it is this year, or you can have it really early. And it's because it's linked to Passover. So they were all flooding into Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. A massive people, massive population increase in the city of Jerusalem. It was a nightmare for the Romans because loads of Jews would flood to Jerusalem. And of course, that the tension was increased. Political tension was increased. So therefore, the Romans turned out in force as well because they needed to make sure the Jews were suppressed. So it was so much going on. The Jews were coming to celebrate Passover, which was their feast to remember the time when God used Moses to bring the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. And if you remember the story, Moses told them to slaughter a lamb, to use the lamb's blood to mark their doors. And that night, the angel of death would pass over Egypt. For those houses with blood, the blood of the lamb on the door, the angel would pass over. For those that didn't, the angel of death would visit and the firstborn son would be killed. And so all the Jews had blood on their doorway and the angel of death passed over. For the Egyptians, the oppressors, they didn't know that's what they were supposed to do. The angel of death visited and they all woke the following morning to find their firstborn sons dead. At which point Pharaoh said, just go, leave my country. And the Jews left slavery under Egypt and left. And so every year they remember this story, this great story of deliverance, the great deliverer Moses at Passover time. So they were celebrating Passover. That's really crucial to understand why they're so excited. They were celebrating the time of deliverance, the time of great deliverance. However, for the last 3 years, they've been hearing stories about this character, Yeshua from Nazareth, who had developed quite a crowd of followers. This person, Yeshua, had done miracles, raised from the dead, made some claims about himself, but more importantly, his disciples had made claims that he was the long-awaited Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, the one who would deliver the people, who would set God's chosen one, who would set the people free. They'd heard these rumors, and then this character arrives coming into Jerusalem at Passover on a donkey. And actually, the image is quite significant as well, because their king from of old, King David, there was imagery of David riding on a donkey as well. And so you have all this imagery of a Davidic king, Jerusalem, and Passover all together. And this prophecy of Messiah and this rumor that this was the one. And they gathered together and they welcomed him with praise and adoration. They laid their cloaks down, they took branches, and they gave him this celebration as he came in, because they thought he was going to be the deliverer. And so they gave him praise. And so actually, there is no hypocrisy in that. They were acting completely with integrity and with honesty. They thought he was the deliverer, the great anointed king come to set the people free. And so they worshipped him and gave him praise. A few days later, the same people turned on him. That doesn't make them hypocrites, though. And this is, I think, why. You see, it's all about managing expectations, isn't it? You hear that a lot now. That's quite a buzz phrase in industry, isn't it? Managing expectations. How do you manage people's expectations? And their expectation was of one thing, and Jesus's purpose was something different. So they thought that Jesus would be the deliverer to set them free from the Romans. And the Romans were out in force. The Romans were oppressing them. I mean, this nation of Israel had never really had its own rule since they were all taken off into slavery, the northern and the southern kingdoms, to the Babylonians and the Assyrians. They'd never had their own king. They'd always had come under the rule of another occupying force. And currently it was Rome. And they thought, this is the king who's going to set us free. We're now going to be returned to the glory days of David, King David. We're going to have one kingdom. We're going to have one king. All these mean, horrible Romans are going to be booted out. And life is going to be good. That was their expectation. But the problem was their greatest need of deliverance was not from Rome. Their greatest need of deliverance was from the thing that truly bound them in slavery. And that was their rebellion against God, thing that we call sin. That was the thing that really bound them. Why? Because the Romans could not kill their soul. Could not kill their soul. They could just kill them physically, and they did. But their rebellion from God would lead them into something much, much worse. And God had a plan for that. And so this was about this whole story of Easter week, Palm Sunday, was about managing expectations. It was about perspective. It was about expectation of what they thought God was going to do. And it's really significant for allies, because I'm sure there's many people out here that have found that they've wanted God to behave in a certain way and have just have had to live in the disappointment when he hasn't. You know, I've lived in that place. When you think, why are you not doing this, God? This plan that I have, this idea that I have, seems such a great one. Why are you not doing this? And God says, I have another plan, and it's a better one, because I only ever work for good for you. But we have to separate the image of God from Father Christmas. God does not give us what we want all the time. And so this Jewish people had to learn to live in the disappointment of God. And they didn't. They couldn't live with the disappointment that God was not doing what they wanted him to do. And so they turned, because let's not forget, on Maundy Thursday, this Thursday, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was arrested and dragged before the people of Rome. He was arrested by Romans and judged by Romans. These were the very people who they thought Jesus was going to set them free from. And actually they find the great deliverer in front of these people, having to explain himself, have to justify himself, being judged by them and ultimately being condemned to death by them. It's no wonder that they turned on him, because their expectation was something completely different. They all fled and ran away because they couldn't deal with the disappointment that God does not behave in the same way that you want him to behave all the time. And the story of Easter, and why we've linked this into Lenten disciplines, because those of you who are visiting, we're looking at Lenten disciplines, this series. This is the last one, in fact, because it's not Lent next Sunday. You can eat as much chocolate as you want. There's a cheer from over there. top tip, Joel, Sundays don't count in Lent anyway. Never have done. But actually, the church needs to be able to live and praise God in disappointment. It needs to be able to praise God in the disappointments, because God is not always going to give you what you want, and you still have to be able to praise him in that place. I was reflecting this morning with the 8:30 lot at that, the story of Job. Yeah, you all know the story of Job. If you don't, it's not a happy book. It's one of the glum books of the Bible. Job was very prosperous and everything seemed to be going well. It's a story about really how do you deal with suffering, because there seems to be no justice in suffering. And it's a story about that. So we reflected on the story of Job, but also reflected on the story behind the song, Blessed Be Your Name. You know, the song, Blessed Be Your Name in a Land That Is Plentiful, written by Matt and Beth Redman. Now, the story behind that is Matt and Beth Redman were married and for years had been trying to have children. And they'd either couldn't conceive or when they did, they were having regular miscarriages. And this was just a continued thing in their life. And they had to learn to live and praise God in the pain of God was not giving them what they wanted. And that's, you know, they were reflecting on this passage from Job and saying, well, God isn't going to give us everything we want, but we still need to be able to praise him in the dark places. We still need to be able to praise him in the desert places when he's not doing everything we want him to do. And the story of the Easter week we see at the beginning is easy to praise God when we think he's doing exactly what we want him to do. The great deliverer is arriving to boot the Romans out. Yay! We can easily praise him in that place. What's hard is praising him when he's been arrested and he's not behaving as we think he should. That's the hard place to praise God in, but it's the place where actually true worship really happens. True worship and praise is really when we can say, we can offer that sacrifice of praise as the Bible talks about. It's not easy. This sucks, but I'm going to praise you anyway. And that's the Lenten discipline of praise, being able to praise God in the pain, praise God through the pain, the disappointment, the suffering, the awkward places. And it's about getting our perception changed because God does work for good for us. But that doesn't mean we're going to have a life of prosperity. And you may have gathered we are not a prosperity gospel church. You know, God does not give us everything we want. But he does give us good things and he is working for good in our lives and he does want to bless us and he does want to be with us. He does want to journey with us and he promised he'd never leave us. And he's there with us in the pain and the awkward places and he expects us to turn from looking at our pain and turn to look towards him, which is what Job had to do. Job, a part of Job's journey was looking away from his pain and say, well, the Lord gives and he takes his way. The Lord gives and takes away, and I will praise him nonetheless. I will praise him through the pain. And many of you, I think, today would have had those disappointments when in life it's just not been, you think it's just not fair, it's just not right. You've lived in disappointment, you've lived in pain, you've lived in suffering. Some of you may still be living in pain now. Pain of, you know, why is it that my kids aren't walking with Jesus like they once used to, and you're living in that pain and you don't know how to deal with it. And that brings up difficulties. Or for you in your life, why is it that God's not behaving in the way that I want him to? And the story of Palm Sunday and Holy Week, part of it encourages us to live in the tension of pain, of disappointment, and to find a place where we can praise nonetheless. If you're visiting today, we love to offer prayer for people, and we're going to do that at the end. If you want prayer for anything, there's going to be a team of people that would love to pray with you. But maybe you're living in that place of pain and disappointment. And I'm not saying that that's where God wants to keep you, because what we see with the story of Job is that's not where he kept Job. Job came out of that, and actually Job was restored to health and he was restored to a degree of prosperity as well. So there was a restoration to be found in it. And God does want to restore people. He wants to heal people. That's his nature. And so we offer prayer over there. But if you're living in the pain of disappointment at the moment, you don't have to live it alone. God isn't necessarily going to remove you from it straight away, but he does promise his presence in that place. He does promise that in that place, David promised, though I walk in the shadow of the valley of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. That's why I won't fear this, because you're with me. I was hoping the kids would be back by now, but they're not. So, no, it's okay. Those kids that are, maybe you could come and help. So maybe Jonah and Joel and Matilda, if you're there, the ones that are able to walk anyway, not ones obviously, they're not. Because it's Palm Sunday, and so we all get to have palm crosses. So if I give you that bag, Joel, if you go and start over on that side, and everyone gets to have one. Jonah, if I give you that bag, you head off in that direction. I've got more to go here, yeah, because there's... There we go. If you want to take those and take the take this block over here. All right, go, take the, that block there. And this block here, you're just going to have to take one and pass them along. While they're going around... we're going to close the service in a minute. There's tea and coffee at the back over here. We'd love to share in fellowship. If you're visiting today, it's been great to see you. If you just come along and you want to get to know us a little bit more, and you want to get some information from us, there's some forms at the back. Because of some new regulations, we can't contact you without your permission now, so you need to fill in your name and your email address and give us permission to contact you. But we would love to keep in contact, give you some newsletters, let you know some of the things that we're up to. There's going to be prayer ministry over on this side, prayer for absolutely anything. Shall we stand? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you always. Amen. So go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. Amen. Tea and coffee over there and prayer ministry over there. I'm on tea and coffee, so I've got to go.